Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Live from Yankee Stadium. Good morning, everybody. It's a Saturday in August, and it's relatively sunny outside, and it's a very festive day at Yankee Stadium because the Yankees are continuing to bury the Boston Red Sox. That's number one. Number two, it is the WFAN Yankee Radio Network Fan Fest, which begins at 3 o'clock this afternoon outside of Yankee Stadium. And here we are. We're together. It's a beautiful thing until 12:25, and then you get the pregame show as the Yankees will play two against the Boston Red Sox. A 1 o'clock game, a 7 o'clock game, Chris Sale, Domingo Germán in game one. So we'll take you right up till first pitch. We'll get to the Mets a little bit later on. I'm not happy. I'm not thrilled with the manager. But you know what? It's a Saturday. It's sunny. It's Fan Fest Day. Why don't we start off on a positive note? And for the Yankee fans, last night was a very positive night. And it was positive for multiple reasons. Number one, you're going to win the division, right? I think we all know that. I think that most Yankee fans are confident in that you will win the American League Eastern Division for the first time in 7 years. But you want to bury the Boston Red Sox. You do. You want to bury all of their fans. You want to bury Jared Carrabas of Barstool. You want to bury Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez and Andrew Penny Muscles Benintendi and Chris Sale. And I can't even name, I don't want to name anyone specific out of their bullpen because they all stink. You want to bury them. And a couple of days ago, actually a week ago, after the Boston Red Sox won those three games at Fenway, not that you were ever worried that the Red Sox were going to come back in this division, but it was a little troublesome. The Red Sox are putting up all these crooked numbers against the Yankee pitching staff. We're getting closer to the trade deadline. The Red Sox fan is starting to beat their chest. And think about where we were Sunday at about 7 o'clock compared to where we are today, Saturday at 10 a.m. Where are we, you ask? Well, the Yankees were in danger of being swept by the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox are climbing at least towards a wild card spot. The Yankees win the Sunday night game. Domingo Germán gives you a very quality performance, kind of stopping the tide of bad Yankee pitching performances. And since that moment, the Red Sox haven't won a game. I mean, it's the facts. They haven't won a game. They got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. They lost that Sunday night game to the Yankees. They lose last night. We'll get to the game in a second. And look, the Yankees split with the Diamondbacks. Nothing to go crazy about. But think about where the Red Sox fan thought they were going Sunday at about 7 compared to where they are now Saturday at 10 a.m. And it shows you how quickly things can change in baseball. So I think that's positive number one if you're a Yankee fan. You want to bury this team. You don't want to worry about them going on any kind of wild card run. You don't want to worry about them in a potential division series. You don't want to think about them. You want to flush them down the proverbial toilet. And beating them, and these are your chances to beat them because the Yankees and Red Sox don't play very often the rest of the way. This is your chance. Last night they did it. The second positive is James Paxton. Because when we look at this Yankee rotation heading towards October, here's what we know, barring injury. And you always have to say that because the Yankees get an injury every other day. Barring injury, Masahiro Tanaka is your ace. Masahiro Tanaka is getting the baseball in game one. And no matter what he does in the regular season, I think he's done enough in October to give that confidence to you that he is a guy you trust to hand the baseball to in a game one of a playoff series. That's what his track record tells you. His track record will also tell you he's up and down during the regular season. Those are the facts. So we know Tanaka is your game one starter. Everything else is a question. Even Domingo Germán, who pitches later today. But James Paxton's the enigma. Because when Brian Cashman traded for James Paxton over the offseason, you looked at him almost like every other relatively young, because James isn't 25 years old. I think he's 30 now. But relatively young, high upside pitcher Cash has acquired over the last 8 years. Nathan Eovaldi, Michael Pineda, Sonny Gray, you name it. Where you have vision how good he can be. And you've seen glimpses of how good he can be. In Seattle, we saw it. Guy threw no hitter last year. Guy had a 17-strikeout game. When healthy, James Paxton's very good. This season, he has been so up and so down when he's pitched. Back in April, he dominated the Red Sox. Dominated them. And he's had those dominating starts. And he's also had the complete duds. Recently, it's been a dud fest. Last night, not that this is any indication of what you're going to get in an ALDS or an ALCS, but yesterday was very, very impressive. Because he gets the game off to a great start. Strikes out Mookie, strikes out Devers, very different approach on the mound. And then your typical James Paxton first inning issue. He walks Xander Bogaerts, and if memory serves correct, on a pitch that was very close. I think Xander may have swung at that pitch. I think I'm remembering that correctly. And then JD, it's a two-run bomb. And you're groaning because you're thinking, here we go again. It's the same garbage with this guy. He gives up runs in the first inning. For whatever reason, James Paxton struggles in the first inning. But what was so important was what the Yankee offense did next. DJ LeMahieu, you've missed him over the last week plus, starts it off with a hit. They get the back-to-back walks to Judge and Edwin Encarnacion, and very good at-bat by Edwin. And even after Aaron Hicks disappoints you by fouling out, here's Gleyber Torres, who, when the bases loaded and there are guys on base, Gleyber's automatic. And he's facing the American League East. You put that all together, Gleyber's automatic, hits the grand slam. But what was so important was that shutdown inning. When James Paxton gets the baseball, top of the second inning, he's now been given a brand new life. Brand new life. It's a 4-2 game, and he strikes out the side. And from then on, you saw the good James Paxton. You saw the dominant James Paxton. And what I also really liked was what Aaron Boone did after the fifth inning. Because with his pitch count at 90, and have gotten through five innings, the fact they had a day off Monday, they had a day off Thursday, you really want that first game. Even with the doubleheader coming up, Boone could have said, you know what, let me get James out on a good note. He gave me five good innings, pitch counts at 90. I got Ottavino, I got Canley, I got Britton, I got all my horses. Let me go get those outs from my bullpen. And he let him start the sixth inning. And he pitched a 1-2-3 sixth inning. Didn't even throw a lot of pitches. You probably, if you wanted, could have pushed him to a seventh at 100 pitches. But he gets the sixth out of Paxton, and James Paxton gives you, this is the thing with him, he gives you that dominant performance that makes you think, hey, he's a very viable number two in the postseason. Why not? Now, the problem is, knowing Paxton's track record of 2019, he'll dominate his next start. I think it's scheduled to be against the Orioles. So he'll give you two great starts in a row. And then he'll throw up a dud against the Blue Jays or whoever he faces next. The Orioles again. That's what his season has been. It's been very start and stop. Here are a couple of really good starts to get you all excited. Here's a couple of duds. But for this moment, as you wake up on a Saturday, you feel very good about the performance James Paxton gave you. And you feel really good that the bullpen gave you a solid performance. Other than the base hit Tommy Kingsley gave up to Christian Vasquez, it was a very dominant performance by the Yankee bullpen. They used three of their four core guys out of the pen. No Ottavino. He was warming up. If Canley got into more trouble in the seventh inning, I think we would have seen him to take on Mookie Betts. He never needed to do that, so Ottavino isn't used, which is valuable because of this doubleheader they have today. Canley does the job. Zach Britton does the job, which was nice to see. And it was a very easy inning for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning. And all of a sudden, things have changed. From a week ago to now, things feel different. But over the next 2 months, I warn you, there's going to be a lot of, oh, this is the guy. This guy starts game two. Oh, my God, he stinks. I can't trust him in a playoff spot. This is going to be a weird way, the next 2 months, a spring training for October. As we stand right now, in this moment, on August 3rd, to me, it's Tanaka, it's Herman, it's Paxton. And then probably using a bullpen sequence in a game four, whether it's starting J-Hab for a few innings or starting CC Sabathia for a few innings or just going full-fledged, here's Chad Green to get the first three or four outs. That's probably what you're looking at now in this moment. But this moment is August 3rd. A lot can happen between August 3rd and October 3rd. What if Jay Happ starts to look like the guy the Yankees acquired last year at the trade deadline? What if Herman starts to really struggle? What if somebody gets hurt? What if Severino comes back and actually can be stretched out, not to 100 pitches, but to 80, 85 pitches? Because the truth is, if you remember how he was handled out of the bullpen last year, Boone is not going to ask a potential Luis Severino to throw 110 pitches. Not with this bullpen. Not with the lack of trust that Severino has in a big spot. So I don't really want to think about Luis Severino, and I don't think any Yankee fan should. Brian Cashman can, Aaron Boone can, but as a fan, you almost have to assume, look, I don't know if this guy's coming back. I don't even want to think about him. When he comes back, I start to think about him. It's like my view with Kevin Durant. I don't think about him. And when he comes through that door, great. Until then, he's not around. And this season for the New York Yankees, and I don't know how it's going to end. Maybe it ends with a championship. Maybe it ends with a hard-fought LCS loss. Maybe it ends in a dud. I have no idea. It's baseball, and you can't predict it. A wise man once said that. He'll be sitting in this booth in about an hour and a half or 2 hours. He said, you can't predict baseball, Susan. And he's right. I don't know where this Yankee season is going. But what I do know is so far this season has been defined by injuries and overcoming them. That's the definition of 2019. And it continues every day. Whether it's now Didi Gregorius dealing with his thing, whether it's Giancarlo Stanton. We may not see Giancarlo Stanton in September. I mean, he goes into that same boat now as Severino. I can't think about him. He's not on the team. I mean, the fact that Giancarlo Stanton has played 9 games this year is mind-boggling that that's happened. But guess what? That defines the Yankees this season. That's what they've been, a team that's had so many injuries, and yet they've overcome it. Because I think back to April, sitting here, not at Yankee Stadium, but sitting in front of a microphone on a Saturday as the Yankees were dealing with all their injuries, saying, hey, they just have to play 500 ball. If they can play 500 ball, eventually they're going to get healthy, and then they go on their run. And that's not what happens. What's happened this year is, A, they've never gotten fully healthy, maybe for a minute. Maybe there was 5 minutes where Aaron Boone was able to throw his entire lineup out there. But the other thing that has been shocking is that they've run away with the American League East with guys stepping up. Whether lately it's been Mike Tauchman or Cameron Maben or Luke Voit earlier this season or Gary Sanchez before he went through his slump or Gleyber Torres or DJ LeMahieu having the MVP caliber season, even though he won't win the MVP, that he's had. It's been about guys stepping up. So where that leads to October, I have no idea, but we definitely have 2 months to overanalyze everything. We've got 2 months to psychoanalyze who should start what game and who I trust and who I don't trust. But last night was a step in the right direction for the man they call Big Maple as the Yankees beat the Red Sox. And as far as the Red Sox are concerned, look, you listen to the top. I take glee in the Red Sox struggles. I do. I admit that. I don't like the Red Sox. I don't really love the city of Boston anymore. I don't love the people up there from a sports perspective, whether they're Celtic fans or they're Patriot fans or they're Red Sox fans. And, of course, it's all done with, as is said, peace and love. But I enjoy watching the Red Sox struggle. I would like to see the Red Sox miss the playoffs because the Red Sox have turned into everything they used to hate pre-2004. And if I'm a Red Sox fan, and I am certainly not, and I have no idea what it feels like to championship. I don't know what that means. Coming off a championship, what the heck is that? No idea. So maybe someday when one of my teams wins a title, never gonna happen, but someday, I can't even say with a straight face, someday when the Jets win a Super Bowl or the Mets win a World Series or the Nets win a net, I can't even say it. I will look at the following year different and I won't be angry. And I'll be patient. So I don't know what this feels like, but if I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm ticked off. I'm 7 games above 500 now. I've lost 5 in a row, and my GM did nothing to reinforce out the troops. You know, Yankee fans are annoyed. And you heard Cash yesterday with me and JJ. He clearly tried. He didn't get anybody, but he tried. And you could hear the disappointment in his voice. But here's the difference between the Yankees and the Red Sox right now. And don't tell me, smart-ass Red Sox fan, well, we won a title last year. Now, here's the difference. The Yankees are 30 games above 500. That's where they are. They're going to win the American League East. Flaws? Yeah. But they're 30 games above 500. The Red Sox are 7 games above 500. The Red Sox are 4 games back of the second wild card spot right now. And they did nothing. So again, I preface it saying I don't know what it feels like to come off a championship, but I would be rather perturbed if I'm a Sox fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.